I'm Buzz, and I'm an alcoholic. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. I've said this before, I'm not an expert on the steps, and this is not a how-to. The new fella back there, memory is the first thing that they say goes, and I can't remember what the second thing is, and I don't remember your name. But
Steve.
Welcome, Steve. If you want to, you're just like the rest of us. Everybody in here started at their first meeting. Probably everybody in here came in because their life sucked. That's the only reason we come in, you know. But anyway, welcome. This works. If you want to get 38 years, what you do is you don't drink and you don't die, and then you wait 38 years. So, you know. But don't let that overwhelm you. Do it a day at a time. This is step 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. I used to think step 10 was a daily inventory, and I was to apologize when I did something wrong. And step 10 is all that, but step 10 is also much, much more. I think it is the real backbone of the program once you get started and you learn the steps. A minister was attending a men's breakfast. He asked one of the old farmers to say the prayer that morning. The farmer began, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye and wondered where this was going. And the farmer continued, "And Lord, I hate lard. And you know, Lord, I don't care too much for flour." The pastor was about to stop everything when the farmer says, "But Lord, you mix them all together and bake them up, and I loves me some biscuits." And the thing is, up through the first 9 steps, it's hard and it's painful. We have to surrender. And the only reason we surrender is because we're beat into it. The reason I came in on my first day, like Steve here, was because John Barleycorn, Mr. Alcohol, I call it Miss Southern Comfort, beat my ass. And I had to surrender. Not because I wanted to. It was like I had to. No choice. Step 4, I had to look in the mirror at myself. And Joe McHugh says, the truth will set you free. That's what Jesus said. The truth shall set you free. And then Joe added to it, but usually first the truth makes you miserable. And when I did a step 4, I had to take a look at what was wrong with me. It was like a mirror. And I hated it. Step 6 was entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. To give up my defects was, I had to be beat into that too, to surrender them, you know. And God didn't take them. I had to do a lot of work. Step 8 and 9, making direct amends. But then the promise is coming. I'm going to get to them later. But step 10 is when you take all these ingredients, and some of them are pretty bitter, you know. I mean, lard. Who likes to eat raw lard, you know? I mean, Marilyn was making some bird seeds with lard and putting raisins and stuff in them. And I thought she made a dessert. And I took my finger and put a big old gob in my mouth. And I thought, God, how come you didn't teach that woman to cook? And now it was like, whoa! She She's laughing because this is a true story. Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, the thing is, you mix the ingredients together, and I think step 10 is where you mix them all the steps together, and you bake them. You mix them up and bake them, and that's when the promises come in. And this is the, you know, people say work the program, and I often said, what is the program? Step 10 is a program, and it's not just step 1 through 9, it's 11 and 12 too, I believe. I will read the first paragraph on page 123 of the book The Steps We Took by Joe McHugh. And Joe McHugh says, the key to understanding the 10th step is the word continued. I have it bolded in a larger font here. Continued is, after we finished working the first nine steps, there's really nothing new, but instead there is a continuous working of what we have already done. That's step 10. And I'm jumping ahead, but when it says in step 12, practice these principles in all our affairs, the principles I believe they're talking about, which I was told, is the 12 steps. And when we put this into our life. And I want to say, there's a little, I've heard some kind of like, I don't know, friendly arguments. It's, what's the difference between working the steps and practicing the steps? I think it's the same thing myself. I switch one word to the other, you know. Now, I said this previously last week, and I know I repeat myself from week to week, and I'm going to do it again. The promises say, people say there's 12 promises. I think there's 14. And the 14th one, it says, are these extravagant promises? And everybody says, we think not. And then it says, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they will always materialize if we work for them. Always is a big word in there. It doesn't say, it should happen, or once in a while, or sometimes it does, or it's a crapshoot. No, it always materializes. Always is a pretty important word there. And there's another important word, and it's only a two-letter word. If we work for them, and working and practicing are really the same thing that I say here. I'll add another from step 10, another word, continued, because that's just as important. And I'm going to talk about times when I rest on my laurels and I'm not continuing to work on them. It bites me in the ass. Always. Okay, when we enter AA, I believe it's a gift from God. And I think everybody is given that opportunity. Some people don't take it. I talked about that before. Some people die out there, but they have been given the opportunity. And it's a gift we can receive repeatedly. And here comes that word. If we continue to work for it. There's all three of those words. And that's how, when I'm continuing to work for it and practicing these principles, I'm happy, joyous, and free. And if I'm not, oh boy, I can get restless, irritable, and discontent. You can ask my bride, or you can ask my cat. That's a little, that little furry, judgmental little, and I'm not going to take his inventory, but he knows, okay? There are many ways to continue to gain knowledge of how to work the steps. There are step meetings, Joe McHugh classes, the 12 and 12, the big book, Joe McHugh's book, The Steps We Took, workshops, lectures like this. And there's CDs out there, and there's a lot of ways to gain knowledge. Okay? the list goes on. But the thing is, you know, this is probably the most important part, or the most important thing I'll say in this whole 12 weeks, is there's a lot of knowledge available out there, and I'm not disputing nor wish to diminish the importance of knowledge, because it is very important. But I, you know, I never heard, it works if you know it. You know, I have seen people that went to step meetings and know way more about the steps than me and the details, and they can quote, and their life is, they're restless, irritable, and discontent. Because knowing it and working it or practicing these principles are two different things. And like I said, don't say Buzz said, don't go to step meetings, don't go to, I'm glad you're here. But the thing is, knowledge is not worth as much as practicing it in your life. Bill Wilson said, the steps are designed for living. But we're the ones that have to practice this in our life. You know, I never heard it works if you know it, but I hear all the time, it works if you work it. And it does. When you work it and you practice these principles, it works. I was just talking to Joe, and he was working a step or practicing the principles, and he's just glowing. And I said to him, he's my sponsor, so I can talk. I said, this shit really works, Joe. You know? I'm Joe. Ah, there you go. In other words, I believe you can have all the knowledge about steps, or really anything else in your life. You know, I've got a lot of knowledge about how to fix my motorcycle that's in the shed that don't run. It still don't run. The knowledge is of zero value unless I take that knowledge and apply it to my life. You know, if I take that knowledge, I even bought a jack for it to jack up the motorcycle. It's still in the box. It's been in the box for 5 years, you know? Motorcycles still don't run. I've humbly asked God, won't you take away what doesn't work with my motorcycle, fix what's wrong with it? God hasn't done that yet. Anyway, that's why if you ever go to a Joe McHugh class on the steps we took, and I highly recommend that, you have to pick a partner to work the steps with or practice the principles. And that's the key. When I'm working the steps, I need help. I can't do it by myself. I can't sit down with a CD or open a book or anything and work the steps. I have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Now, hopefully there's a big question. How do you keep working the steps continually over the years? I've practiced the principles with various sponsors over the years, but personally, I like to teach sponsees the steps and then work the steps right along with them. When they do a fourth step, I do one with them. When I'm teaching them the fifth step, I do a fifth step with them before they do a fifth step with me. I try to walk like I talk, and that keeps me honest. I've got three sponsees here tonight. I have to tell the truth. They're going to beat me, and they're all bigger than me, you know. So, and that's how I personally keep working the steps and practice the principles. And I've heard this somewhere. I don't know where I heard it. But the highest level of learning is teaching. I probably heard that from Helen. But, but anyway, the thing is, when I teach it to my sponsees, I have to walk like I talk, and that keeps me honest. So that's what I try to do. And I'm not trying to stand up here and be grandiose. I'm trying to apply this to myself. And this is, like I said, I'm not an expert, but this is how I do it. I talked early on when I did the fourth step for the first time. I said to my sponsor, my first sponsor, Big Jim Pratt, I said, I'm glad that's over. I'm glad I'm done with that. And he says, no, it's like peeling an onion. And he had 14 years. And when you have, you know, a matter of months, 14 years looks like forever. And I had him on this pedestal. And I says, he says, it's like peeling an onion. There's another layer underneath it. And I says, well, what happens when you get to the middle? And he says, I don't know. I'm still peeling. And that's how I still peel. Because every time I'm working the steps with another person and I'm teaching it and I'm practicing the principles, there's more that's been being revealed all the time. I always come up with new things. I gave a fourth step form out when we did the fourth step. I've since revised that. And I shared a lot of it with my sponsees, and I got their feedback on what I should change on it. And because continually more is to be revealed. And I'll talk more about that. I often hear it keeps getting better. I don't think it gets better, but I think we're the ones that get it better. That's why I like to say it keeps getting gooder and gooder. And is there any English teachers in here? That's why I always sat in front row. It wasn't by choice. It was by invitation. I said that before. Years ago, I had a new job, and I was doing basically homework at home. I was writing some progress notes, and Good Morning America was on, and Katie Couric was on at the time, and she had Cher Bono on. Now, both of these are very powerful women, and so I stopped doing what I was doing because they started getting into it, and I thought, this is going to be Clash of the Titans. And what happened was Katie Couric, Cher had a new exercise video out, and Katie was interviewing her, and Katie kind of, she was a, you know, a journalist, but she liked to talk people into saying what she wanted them to say by wording it and manipulating it. And she was trying to manipulate Cher into committing on what was the best way to start an exercise program. And this is going back and forth like a tennis match. And I put down my pencil and I thought, this is going to be good, you know. And I'm thinking, if they get a fight, I think she could take Katie. But anyway, it didn't come to that. But Cher kind of got annoyed. And finally, she said something that I think is the most profound thing I've heard, and it applies here. It doesn't matter how you start. What matters is that you start. And when you start anything, you'll get better at it. All I have to do is go out in that shed and get the jack for the motorcycle out of the box, maybe read the directions, put it together, jack up the motor. I don't know what I'm doing. But the thing is, if I start, I'll get the motorcycle running sooner or later. Or else shoot it. I shot a lawnmower one time, so that's another story. But anyway, and I really think the worst thing you can do at any stage in your recovery is not practice the principles that you learn in this program. Because I know from personal experience, when I stop working the program, it stops working. And then I go into a dry drunk or a slip. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I'm not quite ready. But I want to end that part of step 10, how you continue to practice these principles. Do what works for you. I told you what works for me. It might not work for you. We're all different people. We have the same stories, but there's different details, and we do it different ways. I'm going to switch gears. This is by Bill Wilson. He wrote this in 1959, and it's a direct quote from Alcoholics Anonymous Comes to Age, pages 104 and 105. He wrote, "In the end, the innovators would have to adopt AA principles, at least some of them, in order to remain sober at all. If, on the other hand, they found something better than AA, or if they were able to improve on our methods, then, in all probability, we would adopt what they discovered for general use everywhere. This sort of liberty also prevents AA from being a frozen set of dogmatic principles that could not be changed, even when obviously wrong." Now, I'm going to take a chance of stepping on a couple toes here, and I don't mean to, but I've heard people say the first 164 pages in the big book have never been changed. That's true. But you know, the other day I was reading the Working with Others in the big book, and a lot of that stuff in Working with Others, that was written in 1939. A lot of it's obsolete now. It doesn't pertain to today. And the thing is, we have to go. This is the 21st century, and the 10th step is what keeps AA from becoming an old dogmatic set of rules. Now, I like to use this example. One of the things, I got this off Google a long time ago when I first designed this lecture. The telephone was invented. I got here, Alexander Graham Bell got credit for inventing the telephone in 1876. And I think that's accurate, but I don't want to dispute it because I don't know. But that's what I think. But that was in 1876. This is 2019. This is today's cell phone. Now, nobody ever reinvented it. And Alexander Graham Bell was brilliant. But if somehow you could magically resurrect him from the grave and show him this cell phone, he'd think, that's magic. Well, this is the same thing he invented in 1876, but it's progressed, and people took his idea all along, from year to year, decade to decade, and improved on what came to pass. Okay? And that's called evolution. It evolves. And the thing is, Bill Wilson was the primary writer of the big book, and I know it says 100 people helped him, and all I could think was he had 99 people that just pissed him off, because if any of you are writers here and you ever had an editor, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. But he published the big book in 1939, and it wasn't long before Bill himself realized it was inadequate, because time changed, and he revised things, and he wrote the 12 and 12, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions in 1952. Okay? Now, Bill died in 1971, but Joe McHugh, who was the original Joe in the Joe and Charlie Big Book studies, he wrote the steps we took in August 1990, and that's even getting old now, because times are changing. And I know Joe came up from Pima Tuning tonight, How would you like to come up in a 1939 Kia? Did they have Kias in 1939? And you got a brand new Kia. It came up here pretty good. But see, the thing is, times change. And step 10 is the vehicle to take us personally and AA as a whole into the 21st century. I say it keeps getting gooder and gooder. It doesn't. I think we as individuals are what gets better. And I think AA as a whole keeps getting gooder and gooder. And the thing is, what we learn, we pass on. That's why I revise things. That's why my sponsees get sponsees of their own, and they create the life of their own within them, and it goes on. Okay, I'm going to change directions again. Wow. Again. When it gets gooder, like I've been talking about, I have a tendency to... remember when I took my coat off because of the sun? You know, the wind blew, and boy, I pulled tighter because I was getting cold and restless, irritable, and this. And then the sun came out and warmed me up, and I took my coat off, and pretty soon I lay it down because I was too warm. Ask my bride. I have a talent to do that, you know. I can come into a perfectly clean house and trash it without trying. I take my coat off and things get gooder. And the reason I start to rest on my laurels and I stop doing 10-step work. That kind of irritates me, but it's not really a resentment. I don't have to fill out a sheet of the fourth step. I'm just going to let it go. So I want to say F you, but I just swallow it. And then I swallow it again, and pretty soon the cat growls at me. You know, it starts showing up. My bride and the cat know us first because they're the closest to me. But it starts getting, I get restless, irritable. You know, one time my boss had me take a week's vacation. I just quit smoking. And I went into work and he said something that really annoyed me. Something like, good morning. And I chewed his face off. And he said, well, maybe you ought to take a week off. If you start smoking, come on back to work. But if you don't, come back in a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, you know. And the thing is, now, I want to revisit slips. I think I alluded to this earlier in some of these talks, but a slip... Today, it's evolved into, if somebody says they had a slip, usually they went out and used. They went out and relapsed. But originally, and I'm not sure of this, but I think it was Wilson himself that coined the phrase slip. And he used it about himself because he was starting to slip away from the program. And I think this is not unique to Wilson or me. I think it happens to everybody I've ever sponsored, and every sponsor I've ever had has addressed it. Slips happen where we slip away from the program. It's often called a dry drunk, stinking thinking, post-acute withdrawal, relapse dynamics. No, I know a joke, but it's kind of... she's going to... She knows what it is. I'm going to leave it alone. But anyway, to tell you the truth, when we slip, whether we get drunk or it's dry drunk, we slip away from the program. And we need to get back to basics. Step 10 is the basics. Because every time I've slipped and got restless, irritable, and discontent, I wasn't working practicing the principles of the program, and I wasn't working a good 10th step. I was letting things slide. I got my coat off. It's not that cold. I don't want to put it back on yet. And then it gets cold. Maybe I start shivering. But then eventually I have to put my coat back on, and that is the step 10. And you can do it any way you want to. You may or may not have to get another sponsor. You can start over with a step to get back to basics. You can go to, there's a lot, there isn't as many Joe McHugh classes as there used to be, but you can go to a Joe McHugh class and get a partner to work the steps with. Or this is what, there's always new people. Just about every meeting you go to, somebody introduces themselves as it's their first meeting. Go up and say hello to them and shake their hand, because they're having a bad day. If this is your first meeting, it ain't been a good day today, you know. It's like, usually, I usually just get out of the county and go to a meeting, you know. That's kind of the way, you know. But anyway, that's just me. That but anyway, the steps are the basics I'm talking about, and take a newbie through, and you can't help but work the steps when you're taking a new person through. And working with others, I don't have a big book and I can't quote it directly, but it says nothing will ensure immunity from taking the first drink as intensive work with another alcoholic. I don't care if you can smell, if they smell like a brewery, you know, and maybe they'll go drink it 5 minutes after they leave your house, but you'll get better. And I revisited, I'm going to revisit what I did last week. It says after the promises come after step 9, and the promises are gifts, and I like those two words. They will always materialize if we work for them. If we don't work for them, they won't. And this is, you know, I ate too much New Year's Day. Sauerkraut and pork. It gave me gas, you know. But anyway, yeah, really. Go figure, huh? Cindy's thinking, I can't believe he just said that. My bride just gone to dress them up, but you can't take them out, huh? 6 hours later, I was hungry again. And I'm not hungry now, but you know what? When I get home tonight, I ate supper. There's no reason. I ate a cookie here. I don't want to eat them because I'm trying to, you know, you can tell I haven't missed a whole lot of meals. But when I get home tonight, I'll eat again. AA works if we work it, but if we don't work it, it quits working. You know, just because you know it. And I've seen people, so have you, seen people stop going to meetings, stop feeding it. I'm feeling spiritually fit right now. But you know what? Tomorrow, I'll go to the nooner, and then I'm meeting with the sponsee to work on step 6. Not so much for him, even though he's here. If it's for me, I'll be feeding my spirit tomorrow. And it's just a bonus if he feeds his. But the thing is, you know, if I stop eating because I'm full and I never eat again, I'll die. And if I stop feeding my spirit with the program, I'll get drunk and then I'll die. You know, I'm sober today because obviously I'm spiritually fit enough that I'm not going to take a drink today. And I'm going to close my eyes and lose consciousness tonight. And if I'm sober, I won. Okay, I'm going to, actually, I thought I didn't have enough to fill up the time, but it's getting late. I'd like to close with, do what works for you. This is what works for me. And please do what works for you. Questions? I'll stay here. Now we have question and answer period. I gotta clean up his mess. Are we doing any questions?
Don't do it again.
Okay, I won't. God, you sound like I'm married to you.
Just back up a few times for you.
Hey.
Just being honest.
I have the keys. Oh, you do. Oh, geez.
Here we go to Kevin.
No.
Nobody.
Nobody has a question.
No questions?
You do good.
I think we're going to go to Kevin.
Thank you, Buzz. You know, I'm always the last one here, so.
God bless you, Kevin.
Yeah. Anyway, you talked about after working the ninth step that the promises come if we work for them. Could you talk a little bit more about, you know, how you've seen them manifest in your life since?
Actually, if I'm working on a program, I don't get resentments. My grosser handicaps are I'm very controlling, I'm impatient, I'm defiant, and I'm inconsiderate. And when I am practicing these principles, those things are still there, but they're in the background. I don't get resentments. I don't get impatient. My first thought is always wrong because it's defiant. That's the way I am. And actually, when I'm working the program, if I'm inconsiderate, it's an accident, and I will apologize. That's kind of how it works. A good way to measure it, do I feel good or am I in pain? If I'm in pain, I'm not practicing the principles. If I feel good, it's working for me. You know, and I can swing in a minute. I've done it. I've seen me do it many times. One of you mothers pull out in front of me after I leave here, and you'll say, no. I can swing back real quick. Thank you, Kevin. Does that answer your question?
No, Bridget has one.
Bridget has a question. Okay.
Hi, guys. I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
Thank you for your perception and your discussion tonight about the 10th step. And what I hear you saying is the 10th step is almost a recharging of the program. You said it was the central part of the program. When we get to this step, it's you talk about working. It works if you work it. So we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. So what I'm gathering you're saying, we're looking from step 1 to step 10 and or to step 9 and to see if there's something that we need to address so that we can proceed to the rest of the steps. Would you say that that's correct, or am I misinterpreting?
Yeah, you worded it a little better than I could.
No, I don't think so. But what I've never heard anybody say in the way that you are saying that it's almost a recharging step. It's when the battery is being recharged, and if you're not doing it, then you're... if you're not doing this on a daily basis, you're not working it, and you're not going to be able to, receive the promises, really. So I just wondered how you came to that conclusion, because I've never really heard somebody talk about it like that.
Okay, Bridget, one of the things, this is true not only in the program, but we came in a car or with somebody. Nobody showed up here on a horse, right? Okay, anyway. Anyway, we came in a car, and cars they used to have generators, now they have alternators that continues to charge the battery. If that alternator stops working, the battery goes dead, and you're going to have to get a ride home tonight, or you're going to have to call AAA to start it. And, you know, and that's kind of parallel to what we're talking about. If my alternator's broken and I'm not continuing to charge my battery, that's what I said when I talked about eating. I'm not hungry right now, but I can't. I'm full right now. I'm satisfied, but that'll last a couple hours, you know, unless I steal another cookie, you know. Yeah. But and I think the program, and it's is evidenced by my observation. I've seen people that were working a pretty good program, and they had other priorities, and pretty soon work or relationship or a hobby takes over, and then you don't see them, or you see them less and less, and you don't see them. The next time you see them, they're detoxing. In fact, that happened just last night. A guy that was sober more than a year when I came into program, that I looked up to, and just we were tight. A lot of people called me by his name because we looked a lot alike. He was much better looking. But I saw him last night at a meeting. He told me he's been out for 26 years. I didn't recognize him until he told me his name. And that's what happens. And I really think that was God reminding me of what happens. Because I could have been him real easy. And you've seen it. We've all seen it. If you've been going, maybe Steve hasn't. I don't know how long you've been coming to these meetings, but you won't have to come here very long till you see people that, okay, God, I got this. Thank you for helping me out, but I'll take it from here. And the next thing you know, they're in rehab. Or they're now with this carfentanil, a lot of times we go to... We've been going to a lot of funerals in Crawford County lately, and it's sad. I don't know if that's happening. It's probably happening here. But, okay, did that answer your question? It is. You worded it better than me, but I agree with you. Anybody else? Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Bill.
I appreciate this.